Welcome to 105 The Tickets Video Game Podcast from Cold Omaha. I'm Tom Schreier. We got a new guy today, Ben Humbert. Ben, you're a producer at the station, big time gamer. Just glad to have you on the show.
I'm glad to be here, Tom. You know, I've been waiting for a little while here to find some time to open up for me to be here.
Yeah, unfortunately, Max is not here today. He had to work late. I'd say he's lazy, but he's gainfully employed.
He has an actual excuse this time.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll try to get him on. He is also going to Japan, so we're going to try to get, you know, you, Ben, try to get Henry, try to get some guys at the station. There's more than enough people that like video games out there.
Yeah, and now that you were telling me about Henry a couple weeks ago, I talked to someone else, and I know exactly who he is. So I apologize for telling you I had no clue who Henry was at first.
Yeah.
But it'll be good to have him in there also.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we should have a pretty good show going here, a little rotating cast of characters, which is always nice. People get sick of me, so.
Well, you know, it's just a laugh. That's really all it is.
Yeah,
hearing
that
over and over again.
When Bob uses that as laugh track, like I said, I get worried that it's a little bit like he stole my soul. You know what I mean? It's in the computers.
He's trapped you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, now I'm the laugh track there. It's something in college a lot of people said, hey, I really like your laugh, although maybe Minnesota's going to get sick of it after a while.
But. I mean, I'll tell you, the first time I heard it, I laughed just as hard in the in the other studio because it's one of a kind. It's not a laugh that you're going to hear. Really,
I don't know where
else,
it's something in my family. I think within my family we're definitely, which is good. It means we're a happy family.
Yeah, but absolutely.
We're loud. We're proud, even though maybe we shouldn't be. But Helmer thinks it's funny, and Bob's daughter used to work here. She thought it was the funniest thing ever. So Bob's a genius. He's obviously a guy who's been around radio a while, and he's also got my soul. So
I was just going to say, and he's a soul stealer.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, exactly. So this transitions nicely. I did not expect this to happen, but we're going to discuss Assassin's Creed going 2D, just, you know, new news regarding, you know, Nintendo going mobile, but No Man's Sky, you know, the Xbox parity clause, and then we're going to talk about Bloodborne, and Bloodborne is like Dark Souls, so
yeah, it's a branch off of those first two.
Yeah, so hopefully I don't have a Dark Soul, but there is a soul cruising around these computers here at Cumulus. Anyways, with No Man's Sky, that's actually probably one of, we're both Xbox guys, and like I said, we're searching for a PlayStation person. As you know, my friend Riles has one up in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
But he has no games, so he doesn't offer much to the show. Riles, get games.
When they first started coming out with the prices for the consoles, that's exactly what I was saying. I was like, if I get an Xbox One, it'll sit there for 6 months.
Yep.
I won't do a darn thing with it. But I kind of want the PS4. I didn't really want the Xbox One. Seeing all the games that they're coming out exclusive, I kind of want it.
Well, and some people are just waiting to get more memory. I mean, I think I've used up about 60 or 70%, and that's after deleting some games. Max immediately just went and bought one of those external hard drives.
That's the smart way to do it.
Yeah.
You just take each one of them out, plug them back in whenever.
But when memory is getting cheaper and cheaper, why you don't have like multiple terabytes in a system kind of blows my mind.
It's a good question. I feel like for the amount of times I've seen Xboxes break down just trying to handle like an Xbox original game, it might just be along those lines. They don't want to push it so everyone's going to get a red ring. But the One has really held up on its operating, so maybe they'll have it soon.
No, that makes sense. Well, I don't know. As someone who bought an Xbox One, I mean, I've been happy with it. I feel like the only exclusive I had, and we talked about this before we started the show, was
Sunset.
Sunset.
Overdrive.
Thank you. Yeah, Sunset. So, sorry, my computer crashed on me and my brain dies. That's how that works.
They're linked, yeah.
Yeah, so no, Sunset Overdrive. And like I said, it wasn't console seller for me. I bought it for about $30. I don't think I'd spend much more on that. And it's not that it's a bad game.
No.
It's just, it's not a console seller.
No, it's not a blockbuster in any regard. They really hyped it up. And I think they did that more so because the Xbox One was coming out at that time.
Yep.
They're like, hey, here's a free game. It'll be great. But it's not a big hit.
No, so I definitely not a console seller. And PlayStation 4, just seeing their advertising and stuff, I mean, they're really pushing their exclusives.
Yeah, and this new one, the No Man's Sky that's coming out, I did a little research for today's show to see what it was on. And just the about page, I was lost in the videos. I watched each one of them a couple different times and showed them to friends. It looks like it's going to be worth buying a PS4 for.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. I think it scares Xbox a little bit. They initially, I think, at launch made the mistake of kind of ignoring indie games, indie developers and stuff. And I think, like I said, for me, I had an Xbox 360. I knew, you know, some of my stuff would transfer over. And like I said, I mean, the games I play, Grand Theft Auto, Diablo, Tomb Raider, I guess the new one might be exclusive, right? Or might launch first for the Xbox One.
Okay.
I think so. My guess is it won't be fully exclusive. But, you know, games like that, I mean, I played the Definitive Edition on the Xbox 360.
Yep.
But the games that I play are pretty much not exclusive. Having said that, you know, I think Sony didn't get off on the right foot just with the order, as I told you.
No, yeah, they seem to have screwed up. I didn't read much into that, but you were saying that it was short?
Yeah, they say it basically is a PS2 game with PS4 graphics. I mean, they said it's short, and just how you use cover. You know, I think games have gotten smarter with not only how, and we'll get to Assassin's Creed and kind of the sight lines, but almost every game now has sight lines, and you're supposed to kind of, you know, move within the context of, you know, the thing they built. I mean, that makes sense, right? They want you to use the entire kind of thing they built there, the whole map they have. So it just didn't, you know, they said you basically kind of move from cover, the cover gets destroyed, you move to the next one. It's not very creative in that sense.
That's sad.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a shame because I was excited for that game when I saw the hype for it. But again, with it being an exclusive, I was like, I'll wait for the reviews.
Yeah.
I never watched any of the reviews, but to hear that it was like a PS2 game story-wise, it's kind of a step down for them.
Yeah, so Infamous, you know, I know some people like that one. And Uncharted will obviously, I think, be a console seller as well.
And although, hopefully that one will break out to the Xbox market, because I know they've talked about wanting to just bring the whole series over to the arcade.
Well, and if you're a developer, ultimately, as much as you understand it's a business, you also want people to play your game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you see the success it has on PS4, I mean, you're going to make that much money for Xbox. It would kind of help to push it out there.
But yeah, so I'd like to see that, and obviously Game Informer did the big thing on it. I think, you know, they've generated hype from it. But I think Bloodborne probably is the first one that might be. Again, it's not a game I'm very interested in. I know you're a Dark Souls guy, right? You played that?
Yeah, I played the first one extensively, just kind of to the point where I got halfway through or whatever, was dying too much and put it down, picked it up a couple months later. But I've seen a lot of people play the second one, and that's kind of where my interest peaked.
It's funny, the selling point for that game, I feel like, is how hard it is,
yes.
And that's what turned me away from it. So
I saw a YouTube video by these guys who now work at a company called Funhouse. They did a thing called Drunk Souls, where every time you die in Dark Souls 1, you drink, and they got obliterated, hammered.
I mean, three of them probably died.
Yes, immediately in the first game, you fight this giant, like, 60-foot-tall ogre boss who kills you with one hit. And you don't get an instruction on you need to break open a door, you need to excel to the top, the next level, and find a way to beat him. You're just in this area being chased by a monster.
Yeah.
I think I died 30 times the first time I played the game. So it is a turnoff.
I was going to say, it'd be hilarious to be at a bar and you're like, man, what happened? Were you at a big – oh, no, just playing Drunk Souls.
I was just up on my console having a good time. Yeah
no, I mean, I think that's pretty funny. But, yeah, I mean, people really get into that game. I think it's – again, you're just appealing to a certain crowd, and I think that that's probably a smart move on PlayStation's behalf to create a game like this.
And Bloodborne seems to have really taken it up a notch. Just the whole, I guess the whole way that you play through the game is very much like Dark Souls, but it's a lot easier to go after enemies and to evade, to parry. The mechanics are a lot smoother, I guess, is mostly what I'm getting at there.
Now, there's some fun literature on Kotaku about it, and Kotaku's gone nuts, as probably everyone has about this, but this kid, and I don't know how to say his last name, but Patrick Klepek or something like that for their site, said, 20 hours in, I'm obsessed with Bloodborne, and then his other title is Bloodborne, beaten in 44 minutes.
So, oh my gosh.
You know, maybe there's some glitches with it or something like that, but I think, I mean, at the end of the day, it seems like that might be a seller. If it isn't, No Man's Sky might be. So I don't know if – I mean, again, you don't have either console. But for me on Xbox One, I don't really care if I get a game later. If anything, with Destiny, it's kind of that way anyways, where they launch that, or they have DLC on PS4 first, you know, and stuff like that.
I don't think it really hurts it in the long run either. I think it's kind of just like that, you know, here's your little bonus for joining, you know, the PlayStation Network. Just kind of like how Xbox does the free gold
Which
game.
I love.
I love that too. I think I've downloaded at least 12 games this past 6 months, and they've all been good games. So it's kind of just your favorite, you know, they're playing favorites. They want to make sure that the people who bought the console originally are catered to, they're treated. But I do think that you shouldn't just keep it to one console.
Personally, as long as it's not to the extent of Grand Theft Auto, where literally I think it's just launching for PC.
Yes. Yep.
I don't want like a wait that long.
No.
Because as much as Grand Theft Auto, I think that's a series that's not going anywhere. But not only that, it's as fun now online as it was when it first. In fact, it's better because it doesn't crash.
Absolutely.
But I would say, As long as they're relatively similar, I would rather play No Man's Sky a month after everyone else who has PlayStation 4
Yep.
than never play it at all. So I think it's something that they should look at kind of adjusting just for the consumer. Not only that, but if you're making No Man's Sky, and I feel like this is kind of a boom or bust thing. It's either going to work out really well or it's going to be a game that people, you know, a lot of people buy and are just like, yeah, it doesn't work or, you know, it's too long, something like that. But, you know, with something like that, I think if I'm creating that game, putting that much time into it, it's just like Grand Theft Auto. You wouldn't want to recreate Los Angeles and have only half of the market play it, right?
I completely agree on that. It's kind of selfish to think that the other side of, you know, the market isn't going to be interested in that game, because we're here, we're both Xbox, you know, exclusive players,
yeah.
and we both are obsessed with some of these games that are coming out early for PS4. I mean, I would absolutely love to get my hands on No Man's Sky early,
yeah.
But waiting for it's not going to be a problem, because I still will play it, and I still will probably lose myself in it. I just, you know, I got to deal with the wait. That's all.
Yeah. Now, my belief here is that they're going to continue to kind of have exclusive games right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, probably will integrate it. But it's for the reason you're talking about right now. This is almost maybe a game changer for you. My guess is you'll look at reviews. You'll kind of do your research. But a game like No Man's Sky, which I think has a broader appeal. I feel like Bloodborne's going to have diehard fans that
yeah.
people just kind of live and die by it. But I think No Man's Sky is going to have more of a broader appeal to just people. I mean, a lot of people watch Star Wars, for example,
yes,
and
yep.
there's a lot of, you know, Star Trek people and stuff like that. So I think maybe a broader appeal.
And you got to think about it too, in the sense that the way that they make the game is you can travel anywhere and do anything, you know, essentially in the universe. You don't have to be like a first person shooter standard or any like type of specific game player. You can just log on, play like 15 minutes, go find a new planet, go find some new life, log it in, and go on with your day. You don't
yeah.
have to spend 6 hours. But the unique thing is that if you want to be a binge gamer and you want to play it
yeah.
and see how far you can get in 6 hours, there's that availability to you.
And that's a very good point, because I think some people get turned off by games that you just – I mean, a lot of people don't have an hour and a half to sit down and crank one out
yeah.
on a regular
yep.
basis. And I think I mean, it just seems like a well-designed game. Like I said, you don't really know until it launches and you see it, unfortunately.
That's very
but,
true, yeah. DayZ is a perfect example of that. Everyone
yeah.
was hyping that up. It was supposed to be, I mean, granted, the quote-unquote next great zombie game really has never come.
Yeah.
But they were hyping that one up, and when it launched, it crashed, and it still has not been fixed to what it should be, to a good standard.
In any final thoughts just with PlayStation 4, Bloodborne, Parody Clause, No Man's Sky, anything like that?
I guess some more of the exclusives. I keep hoping that they're going to get pushed sooner to
yeah.
come over to Xbox. But again, if you have to make the wait, I mean, just wait. Because if it's going to come
yeah.
to your console, it's going to be as good as it should be for that console when
yeah.
it comes out.
Yeah.
That
may be the future, is that
yeah.
you just have certain games go on one, you know, or DLCs come earlier for certain ones. I think that's the future.
It's the
probably.
Pepsi Coke fight, you know.
Yeah.
Pepsi and Coke own different companies, and so they're allowed to throw their stuff wherever they want. As soon as Xbox and, you know, PS4 have this type of exclusive market under their hands and they're actually doing something every day with it, it's going to be like that forever. I mean,
yeah.
and it'll be something that I think will get a lot easier for gamers too. So they're not saying, oh my gosh, I have a month to wait for this game. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on to Assassin's Creed. I know we teased that in the beginning.
Yep.
We're talking about Chronicles here just because it's moving to 2D. Max and I have talked about this extensively, that I was really upset with Unity. Did not buy it. Didn't like that it was broken. Even now, they say it's weird accents. It's not, you know, historically correct, or it's not the right place. So as much as I think you and I have talked about this, we both really like Black Flag. I played every other game in the Assassin's Creed series, and as I've told Max before, I used to just buy Assassin's Creed games without even looking at the review. I mean, sight unseen, there was, you know, and I was always pretty happy with it. Luckily, I looked at the Unity review, and now it's just getting weird. Unity, I think, had kind of an embargo for a while and
mm-hmm.
didn't let people review it. This Chronicles thing seems like, on one hand, it seems like maybe they're kind of separating these new products from Unity, which didn't do very well or kind of was a tarnish.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it seems weird that something that was part of the season pass now it looks like a trilogy and its own kind of game.
They're kind of just making some weird moves on this. I'm glad to see that they've got extra games coming out for it. But it just seems like weird timing. They had Unity come out, and immediately after that, they had Rogue come out to satisfy more of the 360 users. And then as soon as stuff started going bad in Unity, sales for Rogue plummeted. So
Is unfair. I heard Rogue itself is a good game.
Yeah, and I have too. And so you would think they would take more than a year to work on something before they even announce it, because people are still a little bit hurt mentally, not physically at all, but mentally from the game's just lack of anything good. I'm really glad I didn't buy Unity also, just because at the time I didn't have the money to buy it. I was hoping that the new Batman game was going to come out, and that got pushed too. But me waiting for the Batman game, I got to see the reviews, and it was just kind of a letdown. So I hope that this switch to 2D makes up for that. But it is strange. I don't see where they're going.
Were you a Prince of Persia guy?
I never played much of it. I have a couple of friends who are big fans, and you said that you played it a lot. And I'm glad that it was the basis for Assassin's Creed, because, like you said, I've played every one up to Black Flag and through Black Flag, and I bought them without thinking, too, because the way the game is set up is just a really good type of game.
Yeah, because if I remember it correctly, I mean, that was a 2D game when it first released. This would be like the GameCube, Xbox, PlayStation era, or PlayStation
school,
2 era.
Yeah.
And then I believe like the latter ones, which weren't as good, it went from kind of a T-rated game that it was almost kind of like, and I think they didn't like it, so they kind of went hardcore, but it was kind of almost Aladdin-like.
Oh, really?
I mean, just kind of in terms of the graphics. Yeah. I mean, the character, keep in mind, it was made into a Disney movie, I believe.
Yep, okay.
So,
that's right,
so,
with
I mean,
Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm seeing all the posters in my head now.
I mean, that's hilarious. But like, that's, you know, I think they went kind of a little bit darker, and I believe that it went more to kind of, it looked more like Assassin's Creed later in its kind of existence. As you got into the sequels, but the original one was really cool. I think the maps were really well, you know, mapped out. There was enough combat. The one thing you're going to have here is that I think it's more going to be kind of puzzle-like and less combat-oriented, right?
And for me, I kind of lost, you know, a little interest hearing that. I like puzzle games, I like platformers, and the 2D effect is really cool to see with newer games because it's not something that's done often. But I liked the stealth aspect of Assassin's Creed. I really liked how it was easier to, get someone from a hay bale, pull them into a closet, hide in a crowd, and attack them. So I don't know if there's going to be these types of options, but you were saying something about the line of field earlier and how it might apply to this game.
The line of sight. It kind of looked to me like in Grand Theft Auto, to use a game example, or a lot of maps where you see kind of the line of sight, for example, the cop cars and that. This, it's like a little cone, and you kind of see where the, you know, the other player is looking. I'd say with Dishonored, it's kind of like you see the little vision of which way the guy's facing.
Okay.
If you're in the dark side or whatever, the x-ray side or whatever. But, I think it's, I mean, obviously it's 2D. It's going to play a little bit differently, but again, it's more puzzly. It's not quite full scale like even Tomb Raider can be at times.
Okay, yeah.
But and even Assassin's Creed always had kind of hints of it. I mean, they had elements of it in the game.
That was my next question. There were a couple timed effect puzzles you had to play in Assassin's Creed, so maybe it'll have some of those to it.
Yeah, and more and more, I think they're kind of getting offer three different kind of games. I mean, hopefully they kind of keep on doing the pirate thing.
Yeah,
which is fun. I mean, I definitely like kind of sailing around, seeing different parts. I always, as a kid, liked the high seas and had an interest in that. And I think, maybe that's a hybrid between, you know, the traditional model, which was your, you know, whatever you want to consider original Assassin's Creed, kind of, you know, 3D or whatever. But and then maybe they're going to release 2D games. And so I don't know, maybe that's, if that's two or three different models, but maybe you're going to have a land-based game, a sea-based game, and a 2D game. I don't know if they're going to kind of go give you a lot of options and try to, you know, kind of expand, you know, cast a wide net, if you will, to get as many consumers as possible. I don't know if that's the plan.
But I'd have to say that'd be a good idea, a good strategy for them, because there are people that they lost completely after the bugs with Unity, and I feel like those people would come back in an instant for a 2D game like this, especially with the reference to Prince of Persia and how it built up into Assassin's Creed. Those people, you know, will probably say, this is something I could get back into, and I'll definitely go and buy Rogue probably this summer and play that
one. I'm waiting
one
for the price to go down a little
bit. I love
the
ship missions where you get to sail over and fast travel that way and scuba dive, and just like the open world aspect that has each different environment as you go to it, like different ports and different caves and things like that. It just makes the game a little more fun. I didn't really like the Oh boy, was it three? Yeah, three. That was the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
I liked it, but I didn't really like it as much as I thought I would.
I think you needed something new. Like,
yes.
They had to go with Black Flag. They had to give you something new. And I think that's the weird thing is they actually traversed that well.
Yeah,
Black Flag
really
was a great game. And then they just screwed up with Unity. And it's really unfortunate because that, like I said, it used to be something I bought sight unseen. The other thing, too, is as much as I like good storylines, I always felt they had compelling characters. So you always
wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I look back at the story and go, now, we'll say this about 3, I don't know, did you make your way all the way through it?
Yeah, I've like almost 100%ed most of the games.
So I would say with that one, it was kind of interesting that you started out with Haytham, and then you ended up being his son, and how they kind of brought it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the stories are well told, some of them I feel like you just end up really confused, and you're like, hey, I met a lot of cool people, but I don't really know what happened. I felt like Black Flag was like that a little bit, and having said that, they do the characters well, they have a lot of cool environments. It is funny scuba diving, because I don't think at any point in history did, like, man, you know, was able to, like, cruise around without breathing for 20 minutes and then stick his head in a barrel, and he's like, I'm good.
It's the old reference that I keep using to tell people about this in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, where they have underneath the boat at the bottom of the ocean. It wouldn't work. It's completely impossible.
Yeah.
But it's just a cool idea for a video game, because no one would be able to do that, and no one back then, like you said, would have thought of doing something like that.
Well, and it's like Super Mario's like air bubble. Like, you see that little bubble, and how somehow he's able to like grab the
inhale
air real quick.
It.
Yeah, I don't know.
I always thought that was funny in the Banjo-Kazooie games, too.
Yeah.
That's what you get to survive underwater is air bubbles.
Exactly, and I just
In that case, wouldn't it be carbon monoxide, or CO2 in that case? Because the fish are breathing it out.
Yeah. Don't think about it too much. Just don't.
The physics of games tend to break when you think about them.
Well, not only that, I'm just going to advise all our listeners, do not just go jump underwater and think you're going to be able to do that. Yeah,
snatch up bubbles.
Well, and let alone, like, you have the threat of sharks and electric eels.
Yeah.
You're going to die somehow. But, yeah, no, I thought it was really cool. I even thought the hunting mechanics were cool. Like, you know, throwing the spear into the hammerhead shark or whatever, and they bring it up. I thought that was cool.
I did appreciate that side of it. And going into Assassin's Creed 3, the thing I really liked about that was the treetop advantage for hunting, because playing the Revelations one where you're on the rooftops and you're able to do stuff that way, I was like, man, it'd be really cool if you could do this out in nature, jump up rock cliffs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the third one came out, and I was like, all right, this is where I'll get to actually do some fun outdoor stuff.
I think it was very Far Cry 3 inspired.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I just jumped into Far Cry 4 now. So when I played the third one, I had no idea that there were other games like that out
there. Max and I both played 2, and 2 was messed up. You couldn't even like get through the game. It was just really, it was cool. It was like 2.
Far Cry 2?
Yeah, okay. Far Cry 2. It was a really cool, like, some really cool ideas, but you had malaria all the time, and like that, and so it's just like, malaria is not good stuff. I mean, you know what I mean? So like, I don't know. That was a pain in the ass. And then you had, you didn't have the hunting mechanic. It was one of those things where they had a lot of great ideas, and I think just too many at once. They Far Cry 3, they nailed it. And then Max says Far Cry 4, he really likes it. I just got pissed at Ubisoft. I was like, I'm not buying any of your games. So
not taking chances with them.
Yeah. So Far Cry 4, I think they actually got right. There's some weird, quirky stuff. Yeah. But I think they did that one right because it's based on 3. And like I said, I think Assassin's Creed will get back. It's not like I've given up on it. The one thing I like about the Pirate Trip stuff is you go back to, they create characters well. Hopefully you have it where you really feel like kind of close to the people in your crew that's the stuff that they nail, and that's the stuff they have to do right.
Assimilating some more missions with your crew would be a good advantage.
Yep.
Since I haven't played Rogue, I don't know if they touched on that in that game. But I really liked the DLC that they brought in for your first mate on Black Flag, where you could play as him.
Yeah, and Max played through that. I haven't played through it yet.
I haven't played it either, but that was a great idea because it shows you the other side. And they kind of how they tied in the storylines of the two women that were with you through most of the game, how they had to interact on the ship.
Yeah.
So to see that mechanic played out again, would be a great revival, I think. And like you were saying earlier, if they brought back where they kind of released the original open world game and then released a C game and then released a 2D game all around, you know, a couple months time and something along those lines, I'd wait a couple years for all three to come out.
Yeah.
And then I'd play them all. I wouldn't be hesitant, but it's going to be tough for people to come back to Ubisoft after the face glitch and all that other crazy stuff.
At least
this
series. Like I said, I think 4 they did well with Far Cry 4.
And the Batman games have been phenomenal.
Yeah.
So.
And to keep in mind, I mean, for them to nail, I don't know how many, that's 6 games, I think, because you had the Revelations, you had the one other one. But, you know, you have 4 Assassin's Creed games, right? To get, you know, past, or I mean, to do Black Flag well and stuff like that. They've done a lot of stuff well.
We can give them some credit. Yeah,
people. I mean, they have a track record. I guess some equity in the market. But, anyways, any other Assassin's Creed thoughts?
Boy, just talking about Rogue, I just keep thinking about wanting to go fight polar bears now. Because that was one of the things they played out in a trailer I saw, and I just thought.
Yeah, they will not let you in Alaska now that you've said that. But
they don't let you fight polar bears in Alaska.
Yeah,
tell me there are clubs or something
in there. But yeah, no. All right, so. We, after getting done talking about killing polar bears, let's do a little Nintendo news, something a little lighthearted.
Make it a little easier on
that. Yeah, PETA is going to be all over you right now. But
I await their replies.
Nintendo news. Basically, they're going mobile, which I've said, and Max has said this for a long time, too. You got to do it. I mean, I'm sure you're the same way. I grew up on Nintendo. I didn't have a new or a non-Nintendo console really until 360. So my parents, we had a Wii at their house. I'd never actually had a Wii U. With GameCube, some of the games they did well, there was a lot of kind of misses. N64, like I said, it should be gold. It was done perfectly. You know what I mean? They did not miss.
It's a console that people who never got to play it missed out. I mean, you missed out if you didn't play the SNES and the NES.
Yeah.
But in a sense, missing out on playing the N64 really was a big gap because that's where a lot of great games came out.
Well, Max and I have said this on the podcast before. I've told him this in college. We played 360, we played N64, and that was it. You know, and it was a very much a Super Smash Bros. Like, you were just the man if you could, you know, kick ass in that. And I'm trying to think, you know, Mario Kart was another big one.
Yeah,
tennis and golf.
The Mario parties were the ones that I think I played before I played the kart, and I thought this is another great way to put all the characters in one game. They had the tennis and golf. I remember you saying that
they're
earlier.
They're very good.
Those were fun too.
Yeah, Mario Party, I think, was meant to be a drinking game.
Yes,
and
Nintendo
would not
was.
Back that up, but I'm positive that's true. So, I mean, they were meant for every age, maybe intentionally or not, but I think it, you know, like anyone could pick them and play them.
Mm-hmm.
And so somewhere they got off the tracks. Max and I argue about this all the time. He claims they're fine. I think, like I said, it's interesting that they won't bring. They have a partnership with DNA, which is DENA, and it's you know, a company that'll help them get on the mobile platform. They're not going to bring Super Mario 64 or Mario Kart, kind of the old games, to it. We kind of talked about this off the air, though. I think it's actually a smart thing for Nintendo because it pushes them to create new games and not kind of sit back on their laurels.
It's true. I originally was disappointed just because those IPs are golden. They have a lot of personality to them, and to like scrap the idea behind those personalities, to me, is a downturn. But they're going to use those characteristics and those personalities in the new IPs. So at least there's the old familiarity of Nintendo, but it's for a new generation, obviously. The people who never got to play the N64 will get to see what those style of games are like, but now on their mobile.
I mean, in some ways, it reminds me of indie, where indie obviously isn't, you know, it's not first-class graphics, but the games look good.
Yes, and they play really well for the most part.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that reminds me of that a little bit. And I think, like I said, you can't lose a generation. It's, you know, we kind of talk about this in sports with baseball, where baseball can't get so boring where kids don't want to watch anymore.
Yep.
And so, you know, with Nintendo, the one big advantage they have, and Max and I say this all the time, is that they have established characters as much, like, no, I mean, kids know who Master Chief is, but I don't think it's the same connection with him as you have with Mario and Peach and Yoshi and all these guys, Toads.
Even some of the most obscure characters, I mean, like Birdo.
Yeah, people know who Birdo is.
Yeah,
it shoots eggs at you. Right? I don't know what a Birdo does, but it's hilarious.
For people who didn't play, you know, now I don't even remember which game it was that Birdo was like the evil boss in, but Birdo was originally a boss that Mario had to fight and then became Yoshi's, like,
weird cousin
or something. Yeah,
it's a weird relationship. Not legal in all states, but
but the point is you know him. You know exactly who that person is. So
no, I think it's a the one thing they've done well with that too is Super Smash Bros. Has brought back a lot of these characters, not only just in playable characters, but in the, you know, the stages that they have or whatever. But I think Like I said, I think they're making the right move here. I know there's always going to be pushback. The one thing is that they're old games. There are some kind of classic Xbox games and PlayStation, but when you compare it to Nintendo, that's a goldmine. And,
yeah.
and they're bringing those to Wii U. Their virtual console, I think, is, you know, they're valuing it at, I think, $25 million, and that just seems per month, which is an absurd amount. I mean, that's what Joe Maurer makes in a year.
I don't think that they're going to get that money.
Yeah, but I think even if it's less, there's a lot less money to be, you know, I mean, like, you can make $20 million and be pretty happy with it. That's where I'm going with that.
Nintendo really doesn't have to worry about money.
Yeah.
But I think they need to. I think it's something that...
they need forward momentum.
Yes.
Is, I think, what they need.
They need that push, that push out the door. I'm glad to see that they're taking their stuff onto the mobile platforms.
Yeah.
I, for one, probably won't play any of the games on my phone just because of data restrictions and all that hullabaloo.
Yeah.
But it'll be cool to see. It'll be really fun to see what they do. I don't know. What are some game things that you think they would make Nintendo into?
I mean, I think they have those new Super Mario Brothers. I mean, I think those are pretty well played, and I think it'll be something like that. I wouldn't be shocked if you have Smash Bros., which actually would be kind of cool on your phone if you could just whip that out and play. This is one of those things where, like, teachers at schools are not going to be happy because, you know, there's going to be, like, four people in the room playing Super Smash Bros. Or Mario Kart against each other.
I'd like to see that, though. That'd be cool. That's just the whole idea of it. A new generation of gaming.
Well, and everything's
out a lot
mobile.
Of new stuff. Yeah, everything is mobile now.
And
you have to get used to that idea.
And personally, for me, I think they maybe need to go more simple with the consoles and kind of get back to classic controllers and maybe have a Kinect device, kind of like what Xbox had or has, I guess, but they're not developing for it. But, you know, maybe do something like that. But I think instead of overcomplicating, again, simplify, just have a good, solid controller, have good graphics. I think also have – I mean, it just threw me for a loop that we didn't have a golf or a Mario Golf or Mario Tennis game. It seemed like –
For the Wii U, exactly.
Yeah,
I was telling you this earlier when I had the Wii U. I jumped from GameCube after N64 to PS2 because there wasn't much out there. And then when the Wii U came out, I got it. But it was like there was hardly any games for the first year or so that it came out. So I remember playing like the Wii Bowling. And I think I saw someone play Mario Kart on it, but never played it myself. Like the argument between you and Max on how they've gotten better or worse, I think the consoles have just gotten to complete garbage, but the games have stayed good.
Yeah, I mean, they found their market with younger... I don't have a DS or whatever, but I know my little cousins do, and those things... I mean, they found the little kids with that, and then I think that market, which, I mean, that's a lucrative market. That's parents who want to keep their kids happy.
And what I'm starting to think about now is since I had a Game Boy growing up, and that is what pushed me into the consoles, the Nintendo consoles, so maybe what Nintendo's trying to do is reboot. They're trying to release it on mobile platforms so that kids will have essentially another Game Boy in their hands if they don't have a 3DS, and then maybe we're going to get a new console. That would be fantastic, and maybe they'll bring some of those IPs from mobile over to that.
Yeah.
I hope that's what they do, because pushing out a new console to kind of, kick the Wii U and the Wii under the rug.
Yeah.
Keep it out of our minds for a while and bring something nice and shiny in. I think that would be a best step for Nintendo.
Yeah. So I think they have to do the console right, simplify that. Mobile, everyone's on mobile. I think that's a good thing. Real quick, because actually we got to finish up pretty soon here. But
yeah, it went by fast.
Yeah, it does. I mean, 30 minutes, like I said, I always say with Max, it has to be at least 30 minutes. Otherwise, I think people will pass on it. But we try to aim for 45 an hour. But, you know, I have a commitment after this. But we'll just real quick, I want to go through some kind of N64 games since we're on the topic.
For sure.
For me, I've already mentioned a couple of these, Mario Kart, Tennis, Golf. Also, Super Mario 64, and I'd love to see Donkey Kong 64 as well as like a GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. But we said this off the air, Banjo-Kazooie is another one. I don't know if they have access to the Rareware games. I don't know if you could bring them back.
I want to say that they should have access to it because they're on the Xbox Marketplace, so like they're kind of open in that sense. But they weren't adapted to PS4, so I don't know if there was an exclusivity.
Well, because Microsoft bought Rareware.
Oh, and that's what I didn't know. So there's the missing piece.
In the GameCube era, because, they never came out with, like, Donkey Kong Racing and stuff.
In that case, I don't think they would allow it. They would probably have to do a deal with Microsoft, and I just don't see Nintendo pairing up with anyone.
No.
They tried to do that, or they came out with the rumor that they were going to be pairing up with Netflix for that Zelda TV series that you guys had talked about.
Yeah.
And I found out a week and a half ago or something that I guess Nintendo was never on board with that. They
Yeah,
came back with a press release saying we don't want that.
Max and I have said this before, and we've argued about this. I said if Nintendo's really struggling, and they're not, but like if they were struggling, I would say they should sell the one of the consoles. That would be a huge get for play. We go back to that first discussion we had of, you know, which console to buy. If you know Microsoft got that, that'd be a game changer.
It would
it's
be
not
dominating.
Gonna happen,
yep.
But,
I always thought Nintendo was kind of the originally it was the forefront, but I've always thought. In the 2000s, it was kind of the middleman between them. It was kind of like, oh, you don't enjoy playing Call of Duty, or you don't enjoy playing Forza Racing, or you know, here's something that you can play on the GameCube. You know, here's something you can play for Nintendo. It's real easy. It's got instructions the whole game through it, and it's got you know those mechanics. Like you were saying, it is family friendly, but it is for all ages too. So it kind of brought that grounds down.
Anyways, Super Smash was another one. I don't know. I think we've kind of touched on all these games throughout our conversation. Any other final thoughts just with the, you know, news, old games, N64, any of that?
I keep saying it. Just talk to someone. Get the communication out there and try and bring those IPs to mobile. I would love to play Super Mario Brothers on my phone.
It'd be fun.
I did just say I don't want to worry about the data, but I might make an exception for games like that.
I might just have a phone bill that's $100,000.
Yeah, I might have a phone specifically for games.
Yeah.
You know, it might come down to the point where maybe Nintendo will come out with a phone, you know, not essentially a phone,
insane.
But a mobile device, you know, that's not the 3DS, something that you can have Nintendo apps on and things like that. That would be a cool step too.
Can you imagine that with like Princess Peach is navigating you with your navigation system, like Mario is welcoming people to your invoice box or whatever? That'd be hilarious.
All I'm saying is customizable ringtones.
Yeah.
That's all.
Oh,
I would
Super
need.
Mario theme. That'd be beautiful. I think you just stumbled upon something. That'd be a goldmine for Nintendo.
I gotta find someone that's on the inside track with Nintendo and pitch some of these things to them.
All right. With that, I think we're gonna finish up here. Obviously, thanks for listening to the. 105 The Tickets video game podcast from Cold Omaha. Max, hopefully we'll be back, but obviously Ben's a new guy, and we'll try to track Henry down. He's got to be somewhere in here.
We'll find him. I'm sure it won't be too difficult, especially if we tell him that Max is going to be gone. He might rush over here for a chance to sit in the open seat. So.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Well, again, thanks for listening.